As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good morning to you, and a happy Monday morning. Although I will say that on this day after Easter, Easter Monday, if you want to call it that, some breaking news. If you're just waking up with us this morning, if you got the alarm set on 97.1 and you didn't hear the news there at the top of the hour, Pope Francis has died sometime overnight. Apparently about 7:35 a.m. Rome time. Today, the Pope passed away. I think that was about 3 or 4 hours ago now, and it's all the headlines. Several of the networks have been carrying live coverage. No details yet on what happened. Clearly, he had been in less than great health, but yesterday he made an appearance on Easter Sunday.
Which is wild that he had just been in front of that huge crowd for Easter.
Right.
We know, like you said, he'd been in the hospital for several weeks battling double pneumonia. He was supposed to be resting and actually not making many appearances because of that. And I don't know if this was, I don't want to say in defiance of that, but if he had been insisting that, hey, I'd like to still, you know, go in front of the crowd on Easter.
Yeah, he was actually in the Pope Mobile riding around St. Peter's Square yesterday. There were pictures of him doing that. And then this morning, this news broke. So we don't have any further details on what they think caused it. Thought I read this morning that it might take them up to 15 days to get to a point where they would be considering a new pope or a replacement. I don't know who the candidates are. I don't know if any American bishops or cardinals will be on that list.
Well, and because of him having double pneumonia, we know that they had probably behind the scenes been seriously looking at different people to fill that role, knowing that this could be coming soon. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see the whole process and how long that takes to have a new pope.
Yeah. Well, we wanted to bring you that breaking news this morning. If we get anything else in here, or it appears that there is some network news coverage of it, we'll pop off and let you listen to that. I promise we'll be monitoring that for you. The other big news over the weekend, if you were listening, hopefully you had a happy, peaceful Easter Sunday despite those storms yesterday. Heard some loud thunder, no damage at our house.
Mm-mm.
Really.
But hundreds of outages.
Hundreds of power outages.
Yeah.
There was a clap of thunder. There was a flash of lightning and a clap of thunder. It sounded like it hit the yard next door to my house.
Are you talking about on Saturday or yesterday?
No, last night.
Okay, because I heard some crazy thunder on Saturday, too.
Last night, just before 7 o'clock, I think it was, and it rattled our windows. It was so loud. And the thunder just went on and on and on. So I know a lot of people got hit hard yesterday, for sure. The big news this weekend, obviously, was what came out of the Supreme Court as well, because if you read the scathing dissent from Justice Alito on this Supreme Court decision to somehow honor some ACLU last-minute Hail Mary pass to the Supreme Court to try to stop the president from executing his constitutional powers, it's really kind of outrageous and blatantly political. I have no idea why seven of these justices voted like this to stop the president from carrying out these deportations when they had just ruled that he had every right to carry out these deportations. And suddenly the ACLU appeals something to the Supreme Court. We're going to talk to Hans von Spakovsky. Obviously, we're lucky to have him on here every Monday, so the timing is really good this morning, and we can kind of chat about that. And the other story we want to cover for you this morning is the fact that the medical profession, I don't know if you've struggled to find a primary physician. I did a couple years ago. My physician died suddenly, Dr. Anstey, great guy, and I had to go out and try to find somebody to replace him. And, you know, unless you want somebody that just popped out of medical school yesterday, it took me a little while, probably took me 4 or 5 months to find somebody I was satisfied with. And then that didn't work out either. And then So I kind of doctor shopped, I guess you'd say, for probably close to a year before I settled on another physician.
Wow.
And there's a bit of a shortage of family physicians these days. We're gonna talk about that a little more in the 7 o'clock hour today. We'll get Tom Ackerman in here later with the blow up of the Blues the other night, giving up 3 goals in the third period.
I saw that. I was like, oh, they're up 3-2. And of course, I'm like, there's still plenty of time in the third period to lose. And unfortunately, that happened.
Yeah, unfortunately. And then, of course, the Cardinals got swept as well, which was kind of ugly. But we got Tom in the 8 o'clock hour today. Jesse Jane Duff is going to be on the lawn at the White House today, doing some of her drill sergeant stuff with the kids and the Easter eggs. And she's going to join us at about 8:20 from the South Lawn of the White House. So that should be interesting to hear what she has to say about all of that. All right, let's get to our top stories. Drew's in the studio this morning for Carl and Ethan. Drew, how are you, buddy? You doing all right this morning?
Doing good.
I said hello to him when I came in. He goes, it's early.
Yeah, it is.
All right, it is kind of early. Let's get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
What concerns me is Van Hollen never went to the border the last 4 years under Joe Biden when he had a 600% increase in sex trafficking of women and children. You have a record number of non-inspected terrorists crossing that border.
Yeah, Tom Homan laying it out this weekend on what a stinking hypocrite Senator Chris Van Hollen is. He has very little concern for his actual constituents, but he goes to El Salvador for a non-U.S. citizen who also happens to be a gang member and a wife abuser.
Federal District Court Judge Zinnes said about these allegations by the Trump administration, quote, no evidence linking Abrego Garcia to MS-13 or any terrorist activity.
Yeah, that's Van Hollen, by the way, trying to convince himself that there's no... Guess what, Chris? He was here illegally. ICE has the right to deport him at any time, and he had a legal order of deportation filed against him.
Kim, are these cuts for the broadcasters warranted?
Hallelujah, and it's overtime, and I can't wait for it to happen.
Kimberly Strassel on Fox this weekend. Of course, the Donald Trump administration is talking about cutting funding to PBS, this left-wing mouthpiece that they have funded for years and years and years to the tune of probably billions of dollars. And that gravy train's about to come to an end.
Claimed he was a member of the MS-13 gang as a way to try to justify not giving him due process.
Well, I assume that was Waltz's daughter, wasn't it? Yeah, I thought so. They dodged a bullet there. The guy that would have been the vice president of the United States, his left-wing clone, his offspring there, his spawn, tried to compare Jesus, what was his name? Kilmar Abrega to Jesus. Tried to compare a gang member to Jesus. You just about can't make this up. Play that full bite for the people there, if you don't mind. Drew, cut 17.
If Jesus were alive today and in the United States, this administration would have already taken him and removed him from this country without due process, claimed he was a member of the MS-13 gang as a way to try to justify not giving him due process, as if there is any justifiable reason to not giving somebody due process. But yeah, some people don't want to talk about that.
So she's comparing somebody who illegally came into our country and violated our laws to Jesus. That basically, did I get that right?
Yeah.
I mean, I assume she's thinking if Jesus magically appeared in the United States today, Donald Trump would accuse him of being a gang member and deport him.
You know, you hear a lot about this due process. You hear people talking about the Fifth and the 14th Amendments of the Constitution, saying that this protects citizens and non-citizens.
Yes.
That's something I want to dive more into, because it is a little bit odd. It doesn't make sense to me why somebody like this guy, this Garcia guy, would be in any way protected given his past. He was here illegally. He'd been deported in the past. There were orders to deport him again. The only mistake that the Trump administration made was not deporting him, but deporting him specifically to El Salvador. This whole thing is just odd. But I mean, that's really the argument that you're hearing over and over again, is this due process whole spiel.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. They think that even despite all of that, there should have been one more additional hearing to confirm all of that before we made him leave the country. We know all of those things to be true. But if a liberal court judge had just had one more chance to review all of that evidence, he would have ruled differently. That seems to be the suggestion.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what I understand it to be. But I mean, think about how many people cross the border illegally, specifically under Biden's leadership or lack thereof. How long would that take to give every single one of those illegal aliens a court date? I mean, give me a break. At some point, you need to clean house. We have to get these people, these gang members specifically, the heck out of America and secure our nation.
This is the reason, Kim. This is the reason they were coaching illegals on the other side of the border on exactly what to say to come in and say, I am seeking asylum. Mm-hmm. And once they say those words, then they're entitled to some sort of a hearing. And not maybe 5 or 6% of an entire gang of those people coming across might be eligible to claim asylum. Not all of them. By any stretch of the imagination, you have to be coming from a war-torn country in fear of your life to seek asylum. They had all of them ask for it. It was a joke, and it was an invasion that was designed by and led by the Biden administration, or whoever ran the auto pen in the Biden administration, for sure. All right, gone way too long here. We'll continue our coverage over the death of Pope Francis at age 88. That happened earlier this morning, just several hours ago. Lots of network coverage of it, that going on right now. Not many details yet. When we get that, we'll bring them to you. We're going to go to a live report from Jonathan Savage a little bit later in the show, who maybe he'll have a few more details on that. Right now, Drew, let's get to our national anthem, please.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy!
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Train to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Train to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, to our breaking news now on Pope Francis, head of the Catholic Church and sovereign of the Vatican City State, has died aged 88.
Yeah, obviously the BBC this morning reporting live on Pope Francis dying at the age of 88. Again, not seeing a lot of details. We were talking earlier about the process to replace him and what that might look like. Obviously, Fox News is covering this full-blown right now. Let's dip into that for a minute, Drew, if you don't mind. Let's just pull up the audio here from Fox this morning as they talk about Pope Francis.
I don't think anybody can say this guy was not genuine and that he was not truly living what he believed the gospel taught him.
And when you talk about that impact and the universality of the church, we were speaking earlier about his 10th consistory. And in December, when he appointed so many cardinals, specifically sought to broaden the geographic diversity of the College of Cardinals. And so just in December, two from Asia, for example, two from Africa, the Archbishop of Abidjan, Ivory Coast, and the Bishop of Algiers, Algeria. And here's my point, that now Cardinal Dalgo said, there hasn't been an African pope, but it's a possibility in the church. And he said, I think that this eventuality, which is not necessarily a demand, but if this eventuality were to arise, the universal church would have to be ready to take it on. Do you feel that the imprint of Pope Francis on the College of Cardinals, in that, as you were saying earlier, almost the most political, do you think that that will have an impact and that the Pope...
Of course it will have an impact because he has named more than half of the people who are going to be electing the next pope. Of course it'll have a very direct impact. But let me warn you here. The fact that he named all of these people himself, right, does not mean that all of the people that he named really agree with some of his more political or social tendencies. Why? Because he's naming people in far-flung areas of the world who are not involved with American politics, for sure, or even Italian politics. Mm-hmm. They are involved in serving the poor and being at a very, very practical, hands-on, pastoral relationship with their people. And so we don't know who it's going to be, and I wouldn't jump to a conclusion. He was rather progressive, therefore the next one will definitely be progressive.
Yeah, we dipped in at a good time there, Kim, because you and I were talking about this. Mm-hmm. I am not of the Catholic faith, and you are not either. But my impression of this pope was one of a very progressive left-wing pope. Mm-hmm. I'll be critical of it because I'm not Catholic. I was really surprised at some of the things he came forward with as pope. And I've been critical of some of the leadership in the United States on that issue as well.
Right. I mean, like you said, you and I are both not Catholic, but even if this weren't, Catholics we're talking about, I still would be critical if I felt like they were going in the wrong direction. And this is one of those cases. So these cardinals are going to be basically meeting within the Vatican to try to begin the election process. I'm not quite sure how long this is going to take, but it sounds like they vote in secret ballots, which they are held twice a day, morning and afternoon, until a candidate receives 2/3 majority. And then, of course, once they officially get the pope elected, they'll release that white smoke.
Yep. So we will continue to follow the breaking news on the death of Pope Francis on this Easter Monday, a day that many people have off in honor of Easter. And the pope just made an appearance yesterday. So we're going to be back. We'll get back with Kim on a Whim in just a minute.
Kim on a Whim.
Well, Mark, maybe it's been a while since you yourself went on spring break. Like, I'm thinking, one of those wild college or maybe high school spring breaks. They get
both,
crazier and crazier.
Both
yeah, I know. I sadly went on both. But your kids maybe have gone on some of these, and one day maybe the grandkids will be going on some of these wild spring
breaks. Don't even
breaks.
Like to think about that.
I know. If you've been there, you know what we're talking about. And when you think spring break, there usually are some destinations that typically come to mind. Like when I say that, where are the hot spots you think of?
I think of, I still probably think of Daytona Beach, Fort Lauderdale. I know that there's a couple places in Texas. South Padre, I think, where people go. Cancun.
Oh, yeah.
Would
I went
be
to
one
Cancun.
Of them. Jamaica, maybe.
You know where I also think of is Panama City Beach.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember. I think I did go to Panama City Beach one time, and that may have been like my freshman year of college. I was young, and you just think about the ridiculousness. It's crazy there if you've been on the beach with thousands of other people partying. And it sounds like a lot of these communities are getting really sick and tired of these people coming. They're saying it's not worth it. In fact, the Panama City Beach Police Department, the chief, put out this kind of scathing post on Facebook basically saying, we're tired of this. This is not worth it for us. Sure, money pours in every, you know, spring. Really, it's like March, April. Some schools are really, really late and will even do the week after Easter. So some schools could actually be heading there sooner rather than later. But they're like, this is just not worth it. And so a lot of these departments or these sheriff's offices are trying to figure out what the solution is to this, because they're not trying to turn everybody away, but they're saying this whole notion of we're this hot spot for spring breakers to basically come and party and just cause chaos needs to stop. Listen to one. I believe this was the sheriff talking about just how frustrating it has been and what they're trying to do to combat this.
We really cater to the wild crowds that may come to to a beach and cause problems. It starts months beforehand. We have meetings with the Santa Rosa Island Authority. We talk about manpower. We talk about how many overtime dollars we have to spend. We put our bicycle unit out there. We have four-wheelers. We meet with the rental companies. There's a difference between having fun and committing a crime. There's a difference between enjoying your spring break and then not being considerate of others.
Well, sadly, those two seem to go hand in hand. When you bring a bunch of people, hundreds of college students who are looking to party, looking to drink too much, you tend to do dumb things.
Where was he from?
He was from, I believe, Panama City.
Oh, Panama City, Florida.
Panama City,
okay.
Yep. Yeah. And that really is one of the bigger spots.
But the thing about this is, and I'll admit that it's timely right now because we're just wrapping up this spring break of 2025, is that in spring break of 1982, spring break of 1983, 84, 85, 86, 87, when I can remember going to these places, a lot of them were having those same discussions. And I remember specifically in the early 90s, I believe, places like Fort Lauderdale and other places saying, this is getting out of hand, right? And in many cases, it was before some of the problems they'd had in South Beach and a few other places where there was violence. I mean, it wasn't just drunken partying. There were fights breaking out. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they seriously, the people that live there started making the decision that we don't want to host this anymore. They were discouraging kids from coming there, to the point that you had to have like a parent rent the hotel room or something and put a big deposit down with a credit card for all the damages that they knew were about to happen, which is a quandary for the business owners. They want the business, but the residents who live in what's paradise the other, 320 days out of the year, is hell for those 3 or 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It's just crazy.
Yep.
And now as an adult looking back on it, I wouldn't want to live there unless I happen to own one of the hotels or something like that, where you're going to make a stinking fortune every year when these kids will come down and pay just about anything to get a hotel room at this place for a week.
Or I'd want to live far enough away from the beach that I'm not dealing with all these drunks who are getting in fights and doing other stupid stuff.
Those things have changed a little bit. I don't remember many fights and stuff. Maybe I killed too many brain cells when I was there all those years ago. I guess that's possible. Or time has caused those memories to fade. Mm-hmm. But I don't remember a lot of I just remember a lot of people getting drunk and falling down. Yeah. But I don't remember a lot of, and they were too young to do it for the most part. I get that. I'm not defending it. I'm just saying I don't remember the violence being a part of it. And you tend to see more of that these days in some of these places. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, police were basically saying we shouldn't be expected to shoulder the burden of an event that no longer aligns with the values or vision of this community. That's their point. Basically saying, you know, we're stretched thin. We've had to bring in over 200 officers from local sheriff's offices, different state law enforcement partners during this time, spring break, to try to combat all of this because there's so much chaos. It would take doing what you said, where you're tightening up the rules for these hotels, these resorts where they typically stay, or the hours for beaches or things like that. And then you have to enforce it. But the problem is, let's just say that Panama City Beach truly decides to do this once and for all, even though it sounds like a lot of these places have been saying it for years. But let's just say that they actually do something. Well, what's going to happen? Well, these kids are going to basically just migrate over. They're going to go to places like Destin or going to other places in Florida or wherever else the hot spot is that year. And so then it becomes that community's problem. So you kind of, once you kind of loosen the regulations, it's really hard to put the top back on. You have to, from the get-go, I feel like, kind of like lay the ground rules and then maybe ease up from there. But I think if you're just like, okay, come on, we want your business, you open the doors, they will come.
It was a free-for-all. We used to go to Daytona Beach, high school, and then probably the first 2 years of college. So add alcohol and a bunch of kids too young to drink it, and then remind yourself that they were allowed to drive on the beach. Like, there were constantly, people were getting run over. There were cars going up and down the beach all the time in both directions.
Sometimes that sounds crazier than what I experienced.
Drunk and leave their car parked there, and the tide would come in, and the car would get swamped. Right?
What?
Yeah, it was crazy.
Okay, it sounds like it was crazier back in the 80s.
I doubt
what year was this?
It was crazier. It would have been in the mid 80s.
I mean, it was nuts when I went.
But I do remember stories of people, because they would lay out there and pass out. And then, you know, as the tide came in or out, the pattern of the cars moved because it had to because of the water. And there were people that had been buried in the sand by their friends when they were passed out drunk. They got run over. And I mean, it was just crazy things like that. So it got beyond kids being kids, to the point that they had a dangerous situation on their hands, and I think they had to do something about it.
Yeah, they said there's been a big issue with these kids bringing guns and starting fights and stealing
like
and all sorts of stuff. That was nothing I experienced. Like you said, it was just a lot of drunk people. But, I mean, if you think about it, a lot of these students are like 18, 17, 19, maybe 20, some of them 21, and they're all drinking there on the beach. But it was almost this mindset of, well, once you're on the beach, you're safe. You know, like, you weren't too scared about an officer coming down and trying to arrest you, because there's hundreds and hundreds of people that you're surrounded by who are doing the exact same thing. And they just kind of let it happen.
Wow.
I mean, we are.
I don't blame them.
That's where I'm thankful we don't have a cool area. It's not like, you know, St. Louis, Missouri is the hot spot for spring breakers. It's not even like Lake of the Ozarks is. I mean, you do have Party Cove, isn't that the area that can get pretty rowdy at the Lake of the Ozarks?
Pretty rowdy. I've heard rumors of it.
Yeah, and I've heard that people, if you're not part of that crowd, just like steer clear of it. That's not spring break, though, is it?
No. I mean, it may happen in spring.
Just summer in general, stay away from Party Cove.
It'd be
kind of
cold down there in the water for spring break, I would think.
Well, if you drink enough, I don't think that the people care.
Too cold to get in a lake right now, generally speaking. Although some kids would, I'm sure. Yeah. Coming up, we'll dip back into this coverage of the death of Pope Francis at the age of 88. That happened early this morning. For just joining us, and much more to come. Hans von Spakovsky at about 6:20. I can't wait to get his reaction to this latest gaffe, in my opinion, by the United States Supreme Court on deportations. Back here in just a minute.
If and when we come back to power, and we will, we are not going to look kindly upon people who facilitated, to use a word of the day, who facilitated authoritarianism in our country. Because that's an assault on our Constitution and on our people.
This dude, Jamie Raskin, like Van Hollen and the rest of them, is just such a hypocrite. This is the party that used fascism, or authoritarianism, as he likes to call it, for the past 8 years to harass and use lawfare to attack a former president of the United States, and when he was still president, a president of the United States, they did everything they could. They impeached him. They tried to go after him in state and federal courts. None of it worked. Donald Trump gets reelected. They start getting investigated for their actions. And now he has the intestinal fortitude to come out on television and threaten that when they get back in power, and they will, they're not going to look kindly on these authoritarian people. In other words, we're going to be authoritarian when we take control again. This is what he's telling you. The man who's done this for years. This attitude by the left is outrageous after what they got away with. Donald Trump is trying to level the field a little bit. And I don't look at it as revenge. I look at it as trying to prevent these abuses of the system the next time around. But, of course, if you're on the left, you don't want that because it weakens your tool chest. You don't have as many tools in the tool chest to attack your opponents. Jamie Raskin is a joke. It's like this Chris Van Hollen character. He goes to El Salvador to try to rescue this guy, try to meet with him at least. He doesn't get anywhere. We all knew he wouldn't get anywhere. And then he denies why he was going there. And when he's sitting at the table and the margarita glasses were there, he claims that was staged. It was all set up by the El Salvadorians to make him look bad. He didn't drink anything. And then he tries to defend this Kilmer Garcia guy. Go to cut four for me, Drew, please.
They need to put up or shut up in the courts. Let me tell you, and I decided to write this down so I could be absolutely accurate as to what Federal District Court Judge Zinnes said about these allegations by the Trump administration. Quote, no evidence linking Abrego Garcia to MS-13 or any terrorist activity has been presented to the court. That's where to litigate this. Mm-hmm. It's been litigated in many other places. So yeah. I'm not going to get into the details because the whole purpose of our court system is for them to adjudicate these things, yeah. not for You're Donald right. Trump to go off on social media.
This is the arrogance of the judicial branch right now. Mid-level court judges demanding that cases be thrown out because they weren't the one that made the decision originally. Right? Federal courts don't deal with deportation cases. Deportation judges deal with deportation cases. The pictures of Garcia's hands with the MS-13 tattoo on them, yeah, just ignore those. With the tattoos all over his body, yeah, just ignore those. Evidence that his wife filed orders of protection against him because he beat her. Just ignore that. Evidence that he was trafficking people from Tennessee back to Maryland. Yeah, nothing to see here. His rights have been violated by sending him to a notorious prison where apparently he gets to wear, nice shirts and clothes somewhere in El Salvador. He didn't show up in prison orange or black and white stripes. He showed up in street clothes.
Mm-hmm. They were trying to make the argument that the image showing the tattoos on his fingers that...
Oh, it was doctored or something?
That it was doctored, yeah. That suggested he was with MS-13. I'm hung up on this whole due process thing because, like I said, that's what people keep arguing that's found in the 5th and 14th Amendments. And I did not know it applies to everybody. Whether you're a citizen or not, somehow you're supposed to be given a hearing if there's... I guess that they're saying if when someone's life, liberty, or property is at risk, you're allowed to have legal hearings.
He didn't get leftist judge due process. He only got deportation court due process. And that's what they want. They want to add another level to the bureaucracy where they can undercut the deportation judges who work long hours every day to process the hundreds of thousands of people in cases that are backlogged in this country. They don't like what one of those judges did, and they want to try to trump it, for lack of a better term. That's what they want. Drew, go ahead and play Representative Emmer. Cut number 7, please.
I think he was afforded that due process. In this case, an illegal alien was transported back to El Salvador. The administration initially thought it was a mistake. Subsequently, it says it was not a mistake. The courts, interestingly, have suggested that we need to understand what facilitate means in the order. So they've deferred back to the lower court, Dana, to tell the administration. Facilitate means this. And what's going on in El Salvador now is you have a citizen of El Salvador that is within the country of El Salvador. It really isn't the U.S.'s ability to go in and remove someone. It'll be up to the president of El Salvador.
Listen to Dana. They can't stand it. You have to understand, historically, Kim, this is why, since the Obama administration, they've been trying to shut down Guantanamo Bay. Guantanamo Bay is not on U.S. soil, and therefore people who are enemies of the state, who've tried to kill Americans on the field of battle, can be transported directly there so that they don't land on U.S. soil where these crazy leftists try to claim they suddenly have constitutional rights to due process. Mm-hmm. If we've caught you in the commission of a crime against a U.S. citizen, we can take you down there. Mm-hmm. This is what they've been trying to do for a long time, is shut down Guantanamo Bay, so that's not an option anymore. Unfortunately, Trump got reelected just in time to save it. Biden and Obama both released known terrorists back to their home countries who turned around and killed Americans and other people around the world because we turned them loose again. They're animals. They're animals. Some people are animals. I don't know about this Garcia guy. I don't know if he's an animal. What I do know is that he was here illegally and he got deported. Cry me a river. Concentrate on what really affects your constituents, Van Hollen. That's what I'd say to you. We're going to be back with our friend Hans von Spakovsky after the...
Get more at 971talk.com.